Let's foray into Nevada's wild spaces. This is a half an hour adventure with the Nevada Department of Wildlife. This is Nevada Wild.
Here on this mountaintop,
welcome to Nevada Wild, brought to you by the Nevada Department of Wildlife. I'm your host, Aaron Keller, and I'm joined by co-host Bobby Jones, Endow's Outdoor Education Coordinator. And today we have another special guest, Cody McKee, Staff Specialist, covering elk and moose. And we're going to talk about the status, the kind of where we're at for populations, and a whole bunch of fun questions and topics today. Cody, let's start, just dive right into it. We've been sitting here chatting for about 10-15 minutes, and I said we could have been recording all this because it's all such great information, but a couple wet winters in a row, seems like biologists are pretty optimistic, pretty happy with what they're seeing out there. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, back-to-back winters, we had exceptional rainfall, snow last year. This winter is kind of right on the money as far as where we're at with snowpack, and up until this last week temperatures were staying pretty cool, so that snow is melting slow, which is great. And many of our mountain ranges in central and eastern and northern Nevada are looking great, and that's been fantastic for elk production. You know, last winter was long, but we saw some really good range conditions, a bump in our calf recruitment, and a little bit of increase in quotas last year. But this year, I think now that we've come off of that winter, elk are kind of improving as far as their condition, nutritional status. Any lingering effects of that long winter have worn off. Here we are, with a great bump in calf recruitment. I think we were at 40 last year statewide. This year we're in mid-40s to upper 40s. And what that really means is a lot of our elk herds are looking at some pretty rapid growth coming into the fall, when we'll start to see those calves get recruited. And so from a tag standpoint, especially for antlerless elk, there's going to be a bump in tags. And then kind of speaking towards that, that elevated recruitment we've been experiencing. Unfortunately, this year we're going to see pretty stable bull quotas. Our antler length metric, which we use to kind of guide our bull quotas, which roughly gives us a sense of age structure in the bull population, dropped a little bit last year. In an attempt to be responsive to that, we're kind of keeping things static. But I think given those bumps in recruitment that we just experienced here in 4 or 5 years, it's going to really start to play out on the landscape. And we should start to see probably an increase in bull quotas. I mean, the last year, I think for all of us in the game division, staff included, was a bit of a bummer. You know, across the board, we were pretty down in tags available, and it now in retrospect, maybe that was as low as it could go, and hopefully we're now on the rebound, assuming we can keep conditions good out there.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, is a rebound this fast normal, or is this like, does it take, I know that when we had the really good wet winter last year, and then we had, they said, oh, wait until it takes 2 years to realize the effects or the kind of the positive growth. But are you guys a little bit surprised at how fast it's come back?
I mean, I think the thing about Nevada is our landscape, because we're such a dry state, is it has the potential to rebound super quickly when we get favorable conditions. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, last winter when we had snow piled up in valleys in late April, that was not a good condition for anything. Luckily, our elk are a little bit more resilient when it comes to those kind of snow loads. But you know, they can move longer distances and kind of seek out those places where the snow isn't as bad. But, you know, when the landscape can bounce back really quickly, and you have many herds that are probably well under whatever the carrying capacity of the habitat might be at that time because of that quick release of succulent forage and high digestible proteins and what have you. I mean, there's that real potential that our adult females are going to be able to utilize those resources and then hopefully in turn start kicking out calves and fawns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then when you were throwing out some numbers, you said in the 40s and then in the mid 40s, can you explain to everybody listening what that means?
Yeah. So, elk calf recruitment here in the state, tends to range, around 30 to 35 calves per 100 cows. That gives us a relative metric for understanding what the potential population growth might be. 35 is probably about what's needed to maintain stable and unchanged populations. As you start to increase above that, that's where you start to experience growth. And then below that is where you start to see population reductions. And during those really pronounced drought years that we had prior to 2023, we were experiencing calf ratios in many areas that were below 30 calves per 100 cows. And that certainly affects population growth, but also affects hunter opportunity because there's fewer elk available for them to harvest, especially when we're trying to keep them at some specific population level. So the calf ratios that we're talking about really is the currency that we work with in fawn ratios. You know, we want to see strong recruitment values every year. Mm-hmm. Because that gives us an indication of how productive the herd's going to be.
Right. It's either compounding in the right direction or compounding in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And it can happen. It seems like it can happen pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and again, that kind of just speaks to, how rapidly Nevada can respond to favorable weather conditions. I don't know if you would see that in a Pacific Northwest state, other Western states, Rocky Mountain states, where, you know, they still go through droughts, but they're not a Nevada drought.
Right.
And here, once you get the right amount of rain and right amount of snowfall, things can turn around really quickly.
Well, and it gets back to, I think what you said earlier was we got just the right kind of winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm excited. Everybody around here seems to be pretty positive, and I'm an optimist, so that's why I'm here anyways. But the optimistic outlook for elk in Nevada is, you know, what I'm getting out of it.
Yeah, and then so the in the 40s, you say, or like 40 to whatever it is that realized like across the state, or are we seeing bright spots in certain places of the state and then average in other spots?
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to have local differences. So we have some places where those recruitment values are exceptional, like mm-hmm. maybe never before seen. We have other places where it's not as great, but by and large across the state, when we look even at local areas, off the top of my head, I can't think of any that are below levels needed just for kind of slight population growth.
It was a good
year across the state for weather conditions, and we're expecting to see some pretty good growth from our herds, and then that's where we need harvest, especially our antlerless harvest, because that helps us keep populations at agreed upon levels that are identified in our population objectives and management plans.
Yeah, we were Bobby and I have been highlighting and mulling over this memo that's in the commission support material, and there's some pretty significant increases in tags. Do you want to maybe touch on that real quick, or is there any spots that you kind of want to highlight as far as to throw out there?
You know, like usual, those central eastern areas of the state seem to always be super productive. I think there's you know, a combination of good genetics, habitat conditions. There's been a tremendous amount of habitat work that's been done in that part of the state to help support both our elk herds as well as our deer in those locations. You know, it really, we strive to provide a hunting experience here in the state that's unmatched elsewhere. And I think that just about any place you want to apply here, you're going to find that. We definitely had some changes in the way that we allocate tags this year. So you're going to see a bump in our muzzleloader and archery quotas. And in general, those seem to be a little bit less in demand. So, you know, if you're looking for a leg up on other people applying this year, maybe you want to focus on some of those archery and muzzleloader hunts for bulls and as well as for antlerless elk or cows, because we applied the same type of formula to our harvest allocation for antlerless elk and it had the same effect. So there's going to be a big bump in muzzleloader and archery cow tags this year.
Yeah, which is exactly what I didn't want to tell everybody.
I thought that's why we're here. We're spilling the secrets.
No, okay. It's kind of exciting, and I know that not everybody wants to hunt with a muzzleloader or a bow, but, I mean, these are exceptional opportunities for people to get out there at different times of the year. I mean, of course, there's still any legal weapon hunts, but you've got five choices, and even if it's just, I think for some people, looking in the mirror, like getting to go or not is a pretty big deal and a really quality experience, whether you're going out in August or September or a bit later with any legal weapon hunt. And you got into it a little bit that there's bumps in this, and do we, and I guess my question would be, we'll expect to see this change reflected moving forward, correct?
Yeah, so that was approved by the Nevada Board of Wildlife Commissioners in January, and that's reflected in Commission Policy 24, which kind of defines how we're going to allocate tags and what the resident and non-resident split's going to look like. And so going forward, that's the intended outcome. We would see a little bit more opportunity for those primitive weapon classes. Success tends to be a little bit lower, so that gives us the ability to offer more tags. You know, when thinking about how one wants to apply for elk this year, for instance, one of those primitive weapon tags might be a good idea to put as your fifth choice on your application. As we've talked about, your application's evaluated first to fifth choice, and always talk about this concept of what are you going to anchor your application with. And I think a good fifth choice as an anchor might be one of those archery or muzzleloader hunts.
Yeah, and you can check that the proposed quotas or the recommended quotas on the commission support material on our website. And that stuff's all posted there, so you can kind of get an idea of what the department is recommending until the commission meeting.
Yeah, subject to change.
Right.
So there's I think there's a lot of merit in taking a look at those recommended quotas. If you don't have specific input, at least following along at the commission meeting so you can find out where changes may have occurred. Sometimes there's a lot of changes that occur at the commission level, and sometimes there's minor changes. But it kind of just depends on the year and what kind of public input we receive.
Mm-hmm. Right on. Well, I think we're going to take a quick break. If you're listening and hoping to hear some information on Nevada's moose population and the new moose hunt, Stick with us, and we'll be right back after this quick break. You're listening to Nevada Wild.
If you enjoy listening to our podcast, leave us a review on iTunes and SoundCloud. For more information on hunting, fishing, boating, and all things wildlife, go to endow.org. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Nevada Wild. Today, we are talking all things elk and moose with Endow staff specialist Cody McKee. We also have Bobby Jones, Outdoor Connection Coordinator with the Department of Wildlife, in the room. And Cody, we want to get into moose. I know it's pretty wild having moose in Nevada, but watching your presentations, very informative. You did a great job at the Wildlife Commission here a few months ago, and we just kind of want to, I know you're probably been repeating this information over and over and over by this point, but kind of give us a general overview of kind of moose in Nevada.
Well, I haven't necessarily been repeating myself over and over. I get to give little snippets, and then I realize after the fact I didn't give the whole story, and so I'm always happy to take advantage of opportunities to talk more about it. I mean, the moose in Nevada, it's a great story. And I think, people have a lot of reasons to be excited and optimistic about their status. Probably not a big secret, we'll be hunting moose this fall. And I think that's the first time we've offered a new big game season in like almost 30 years, here at the department. So it's kind of an unprecedented thing. And the cool part about moose here in the state is it's a naturally expanding population. We haven't done any kind of active translocations or population augmentations. And I think when you kind of look back at the story of moose and how they've expanded and what seems to be a fairly rapid increase over the last few years, it all kind of fits together and makes sense, right? Because had we moved moose here into the state 20 years ago, maybe we would have seen things increase a lot more rapidly than they did, but it really took them time to meet some minimum abundance here in the state for them to experience that rapid growth. So I think that's really cool. And you know, the various metrics that we've been measuring on our moose population, all indicate that this herd is really strong. It's really productive. Granted, we would love to have thousands of moose here in the state, but I just don't think that that's ever going to be a reality. What we have is a low abundant, or a population that's of low abundance, potentially reaching some sort of carrying capacity. We don't know exactly what that might be, but it could be 200 or 300 or 400 animals, but certainly probably not 10,000 moose. If it is, that'd be great.
Right. Yeah. Time will tell.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
And so these, I mean, for anybody that is like, has not paid attention to the moose, they've moved south.
Yeah.
And so how do we know that? Or how do we know where they came from?
Yeah. So, you know, you look around our neighbors to the north and to the east, Utah and Idaho are the only states that had, established moose populations prior to kind of when we started to see our uptick. So it stands to reason that they're moving in from those states. It seems that the majority of movement is probably southward from the South Hills of Idaho into northern Nevada. Our colleagues across the state have indicated that their herds have been doing really well, and they've been seeing a tremendous amount of expansion and growth there. Now, I think it is important to point out through the monitoring that we've done, the moose that we have caught and placed radio collars on, we're not seeing interstate movements. And so I guess what that means is that north to south expansion that happened at some point over the last 30 to 40 years, probably has reduced, and now what we're seeing are moose that have established here in the state and are growing within our boundaries. And again, I think that as we kind of paint the story of what moose are doing here. That's just another like stroke of the brush that tells us that we're dealing with a productive herd that's here in the state and hopefully going to be here for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And where are they at? And just if you could speak super generally to that, Cody.
Yeah. So where they're at is the majority of Elko County. The new hunting season is we've identified a handful of units within Elko County where we see the core of the Nevada moose population. We wanted to narrow it down to places that we felt like a hunter would have the best chance of finding one. And they're in places where they're more abundant than elsewhere. As far as the number of moose that we have, our current population estimate, published population estimate, is 105 adults. And so there will be a number of calves that we'd expect this upcoming fall after the upcoming calving season. How we arrived at that number is through a population modeling process, right? And I wanted to speak a little bit to how we inform that population model. So over the last 3 to 4 years, we've been collecting ancillary observations of moose here in the state during our primary big game surveys like mule deer, elk, and our biologists will know what moose they see. They'll indicate whether or not they were a cow or calf or bull. We then take that resulting information, we break it down into what we talked about in the first half of the segment, that recruitment information, calf production, and we plug that into our population model. And that's been running around 50 calves per 100 cows for the Nevada moose over the last 3 years. And that's really good. That's a really strong value. When we compare that to neighboring states, to have a stable to slightly increasing moose population, you need to have about 40 calves. However, we also do a lot of on-the-ground follow-up with our monitored moose here in the state. And what we found over that time is that for our monitored moose, where we're actually able to actively get out into the field, get observations of those cows in the field, and document whether or not they have calves, and then we can document the calf survival over time, that value is actually over 70 calves per 100 cows. And so what that's telling me is that there's probably we're missing a lot of calves when we fly. And those flights are our ancillary observations anyways. We're not getting to spend a lot of time looking for moose. So we're missing a lot of stuff anyways. And so kind of taking it full circle back to our population model, that recruitment value that's going into our model that's driving where we're at and our estimate of moose here is conservative, because I think the true value is a lot higher than what we're finding on our surveys. And so the current population estimate, I think, is our best data-driven understanding of our moose numbers here in the state, but I think it's likely conservative and the number's probably much higher.
Which I don't think is a bad thing, right?
No. I mean, I think it's better to be conservative than it is to be overestimating the numbers there,
especially in the first year, in the first hunt.
Yeah,
so 70 plus per 100,
correct,
seems really high
to me. Yeah, so when I was doing a review of literature, I couldn't find a calf ratio that was that high in moose. I think that just speaks to how productive the Nevada moose population is. Over the same monitoring period, adult survival was 98%. And again, in an ungulate herd, deer-like species like moose, anything over 90% is exceptional. So, I mean, for a moose that's alive on January 1st to have almost 100% chance of surviving to the end of that year, December 31st, is amazing.
One thing that I found really interesting was you had captured observations from people, and there's a distribution for Elko County, and I took a picture of it with my phone because I knew I was going to get questions, but it blew me away at how widely dispersed moose are compared to, you know, well, I heard they're in Jarvis, and it's, could you just expand on kind of where you're finding them, where they're getting picked up at?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a really strong core herd that's in central Elko County. Jarvis Mountains extending down to the Snake Mountains. That seems to be kind of the centralized location where we see the greatest number and the most productive part of the herd. But they've extended eastward across Highway 93 over into the Goose Creek Mountains, the Delano Range. They've gone west into the Independence, Merritt Mountain, Tennessee Mountain. They're very widely distributed in Elko County right now, and the observations really paint that picture. Interestingly, we talked a little bit about the moose that we've monitored in the state, and I built kind of a crude distribution of those animals, and what we found was, I think, over 70% of public observations that we got actually fell outside of that distribution of monitored animals. And again, you know, it just starts putting this picture together. You know, you start putting the puzzle pieces and evaluating what that really means. And it indicates that we've got a lot of moose, at least a lot for Nevada standards, and certainly enough for us to offer some limited hunting opportunity.
Are you surprised at how suitable Nevada is for moose? I mean, I think before we had moose, or that I knew we had moose, I used to think of moose of like living in a swamp or like aquatic vegetation, and that's not necessarily what you think of when you think of Nevada.
No, not at all, especially for those that just visit like Las Vegas. And it's really amazing because, you know, I think everybody thinks of Nevada and it's this like rolling sagebrush plains, more barren than other Western states. And I think that's what kind of piques people's interest when it comes to moose, is like, well, how could they even be there? And then a lot of times the pictures that we get are moose moving through a sagebrush flat. But the reality is kind of like, once you step in there and look at the habitats that they're using, it's moose habitat. We just don't have as much of it as those other places. But, you know, the great thing is that they found those places that are suitable for them. And they're really maximizing on those opportunities. They've dispersed as far south as the Ruby Mountains. And I think that over time, we'll probably see the core of our herd is going to shift southward, because when we look at habitat suitability in the state, I think the Ruby Mountains probably offer the highest quality habitat that we could provide moose.
Yeah. Yeah, when we... that citizen science project that we posted on social media a few years back was a real eye-opener for me when some of the first photos we got were moose standing in like what I can explain like 1 foot tall sagebrush, and you're like, what is that giant animal doing there, you know? But then you also get them when they're standing in the middle of the creek and they're you can barely see them, and you know they're there, but they're the size of a car. And yeah, so I could see also where you could miss calves on the flights as well. So
Yeah, I mean, the cows and calves really like the denser vegetation, the places where there's going to be more canopy cover.
Yeah.
And so, when we're flying over them, if they hear a helicopter, I think there's a pretty good chance that cow is either already buried in some aspen or mahogany thicket, or it's heading that way when that big predator in the sky comes flying by. And so, speaking to those photographs and people's astonishment of seeing a moose through some of that type of country, one of the things that to keep in mind is we get the greatest number of public sightings in October. That also coincides with our deer hunts, so there's a lot more people in the field, but it's also the moose rut. And so bulls are likely to be more mobile during that time, less risk averse, and they're going to be more willing to cover country that they probably wouldn't typically do during other times of the year. And I think that's when people are catching them in those places, is when they're moving, looking for potential mating opportunities.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Yeah, we just have another couple minutes. I just wanted to ask, have you applied or put in your application yet? Or are you one of the procrastinators?
I'm very much a procrastinator. Certain years I might start a little bit earlier. I just haven't gotten around to it yet this year.
And have you switched over to archery or muzzleloader? Have you made that decision?
I've thought about it. I've thought strongly about it.
Yeah.
Probably muzzleloader would be an easier transition for me.
For sure.
And I think when I'm out of my bull elk waiting period, I will be putting muzzleloader choices on my application. This year, it may not be just for personal reasons,
yeah,
family life reasons. I think probably stick to the rifle hunts, knowing that I'll probably maybe not have to spend quite as much time in the field.
Right on. Yeah, totally understand. I think some people that are listening are also in that same boat. But you could probably hear Bobby over here rustling his papers every time Cody says something. You know, he's looking at the quota or he's looking at what's going on. But
hey, trying to math it out, trying to figure it out. I know that I would definitely encourage people to consider the archery and muzzleloader options. Everything that we've been looking at is at a little better odds for those weapon classes this year. But also just, you know, having the positive outlook on these species is pretty exciting. I was going to point out to people, you know, buying points is good unless you want to go hunting. Then you've got to apply.
Right. Yep, everybody has the same odds, one application.
Yeah, this is the year, yeah.
And then to Cody's point, I just want to throw in there right here at the end is Nevada has very, very good opportunities to hunt elk and to have a great experience. And so don't get too caught up into the numbers necessarily. Any of the tags that you draw, you're going to have a great time. Great time of year to be outside. Camping's great. And yeah, you might just see a moose if you're out in some of those units that.
Or you know what? Maybe one of the listeners will be lucky enough to draw one of those two recommended moose tags.
I hope two of the listeners that hear this will.
And if you do, definitely reach out to us. But you'll probably hear from us first. So we want to make sure that you have a very successful and enjoyable experience. Why you're hunting moose this year.
And good news, the season is September 1 to November 30, so there's some time.
Lots of time. Yep. Yeah, lots of time to be in the field, lots of time to scout, try and use your fellow hunters to your advantage, because, again, there'll be a lot of deer hunters in the field in the places where there's moose, and, you know, you might be able to use their intel to try and track down something that might pique your interest.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Cody, for coming on. And thank you, Bobby, again. And thank you, everyone, for listening. That does it for this week's Nevada Wild.
Join us again next week for our next adventure, Nevada Wild. It's a production of the Nevada Department of Wildlife.